Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a U.S. Army veteran who served three tours in Afghanistan and just handed back his medals in protest at the NATO summit in Chicago. Jacob George joins us to explain why he handed back his medals and how he feels about the blood and treasure the U.S. has invested in a country that NATO is anxious to leave. Then we'll look into the impasse between NATO and Pakistan over opening the supply routes into Afghanistan, where the Pakistanis are gouging NATO, demanding a raise from $250 per vehicle to $5,000 per vehicle. And the president is refusing to apologize to the Pakistanis because that would be an election year gift to Mitt Romney, who has accused Obama of having a foreign policy of apologizing. Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, the former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the State Department Bureau of Intelligence and Research, joins us. Then finally, we will speak with the son of a former head of the CIA, William Colby, who opened up to Congress and spilled the family jewels, leading to the Church Committee reforms that created the House and Senate Intelligence Oversight Committees. Documentary filmmaker Carl Colby, who recently made The Man Who Nobody Knew, In Search of My Father, CIA Spymaster William Colby, joins us to discuss how the post-9/11 so-called reforms are working and the ongoing military takeover of the CIA and American intelligence. Joining us now is Jacob George, who has served three tours in Afghanistan with the United States Army and is now taking part in demonstrations against NATO in Chicago, where yesterday he and other veterans returned medals that they had been awarded for their service in Afghanistan. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jacob George.
Well, thanks for having me.
And describe what you did yesterday in terms of handing back your medals. Where did it happen, and what kind of a ceremony, if that's the right word, took place?
Well, basically, we got as close to the NATO summit as we were allowed to. And what happened was we carried a U.S. flag with us on the march there, and some Afghan women from Afghans for Peace carried an Afghan flag, and we carried it side by side to show solidarity with each other. And then we brought them up onto the stage, where we were allowed to stage outside the NATO summit, and we folded our flag and presented it to the mother of a soldier that had fallen and pledged to continue our work as war resistors and anti-war veterans until these wars are brought to an end. And then we ceremoniously returned our medals, one service member at a time, and we said a little bit about why we were doing this with each person that went up.
And who did you return the medals to, Jacob George?
Well, we didn't really return them. We basically threw them as close as we could to the NATO summit. We weren't allowed to get too close. So it was more reminiscent of the action that took place in around the Vietnam veterans. That's where we drew our inspiration, and it was very similar to that. We actually had to throw them instead of handing them to a general. No representative from NATO agreed to come out and accept them.
So, Jacob George, what were the medals? You served three tours in Afghanistan, and the other service members that handed back their medals, were they Afghan vets as well?
No, there was a variety of veterans. It was Iraq and Afghanistan, and there was a variety of medals that were returned as well. And I actually don't know how many were returned and which ones, because everyone had something different they wanted to turn in for different personal reasons.
So as a veteran, though, when you what was going on the inside there that you were shut out from, the one thing that we've learned is that there's a date certain they're going to pull out, although we don't know how many U.S. troops are going to be left behind. And there also is an impasse, as you know, over the supply routes that go through Pakistan, and the supplies aren't getting in. They're only getting in by air and via this Russia and the stands. And the Pakistanis are jacking the price up from $250 per vehicle to $5,000. You know, the war is incredibly unpopular with the American people. As a veteran there, what do you come away with? What was your service and sacrifice about?
That's a really good question, and I think that's a question that a lot of us as veterans there ask ourselves, you know, what did we really do and what did we really accomplish? And unfortunately, there isn't enough transparency in the Department of Defense and what's actually happened and the gains that are really being made and lost in order to draw a true critical analysis on that. So all we can do is draw from our personal experiences. And on that, I would have to say that for most of us, it's a major loss. We didn't really gain a whole lot from this war other than these experiences that we have now, unfortunately.
And do you think, though, that there is anything that could have been done? I mean, many people that I speak to that have spent time in Afghanistan basically say, well, first of all, it's worth pointing out that 90% of the GDP, the budget of Afghanistan, is paid for by the United States and NATO. So we're basically the only, you know, 90% of the economy of Afghanistan is on our dime. But most people say that have spent time there is that you can't really do nation building there because, you know, it's just the culture and the history is such that they just want to be left alone. What's your reading on what the Afghans want?
Well, I think you're pretty accurate on saying that this might be a dubious effort for nation building because, one, the U.S. military isn't designed to build nations. It's designed to destroy them. Unfortunately. And in terms of what I think Afghans want, I really can't speak to that directly. I've heard many different opinions on what Afghans want. One of the main things I heard, because I went back to Afghanistan last summer, actually, as a civilian to work with Afghan youth. And one of the things I heard from a lot of Afghans was that they would like to have a stabilization force there, but they would like it to be an all-Muslim peacekeeping force that would be more likely to be respectful to the cultural sensitivities of Afghan culture, which are very diverse. And we're frankly not trained to observe that as U.S. soldiers and most in NATO. So that's one thing that everyone seemed to be really concerned about when we were talking to them, was some type of stabilization force that was sensitive to the culture in Afghanistan and all its differences.
Well, my understanding is that just in terms of the war effort and the cost in blood and treasure, it may be that most of that equipment that we brought in, and there's an awful lot of heavy equipment there that came in via Pakistan, we may not be able to get it out. I mean, the Pakistanis and the U.S., the bottom line with what's going on between Obama and the Pakistanis is that they're demanding an apology, and Obama simply can't give an apology because that would be a gift to Mitt Romney, who's already accusing him of apologizing too much. So that's the standoff. From what you've seen and experienced there as a veteran, Jacob George, what kind of equipment could we be leaving behind? There's an awful lot of stuff that we put in there, isn't there?
Yeah, that's an incredible amount of equipment. And I have to tell you that I did three tours over there between 2001 and 2004, my first one being about a month after September 11th. And back then, there was an incredible amount of equipment there. And, you know, we've been there for 10 years now. And we've gone through an entire generation of people and an entire evolution of how our military is operating over there. Almost every piece of equipment that I used while I was there is now outdated and something else is being used there. So we are talking about a enormous load of equipment to bring back. There is a possibility some of it could be left there. You know, that's exactly what I encountered when I was there in 2001, 2002. Was the relics of the Soviet occupation. They're all over the country. I'm pretty sure a lot of the stuff is still there. Actually, it was when I went back last summer. There's still tanks all over the place. So it might just be some more grim decorations to what people call the graveyard of empires.
Again, I'm speaking with Jacob George, who served three tours in Afghanistan with the United States Army and is now taking part in demonstrations against NATO in Chicago, where yesterday he and other veterans returned medals that they were awarded for their service in Afghanistan. Going back, you just mentioned you came in into Afghanistan in the first month after the U.S. went in there in 2001 following the September 11th attacks. A lot of people have said, you know, including, by the way, candidate Barack Obama and now President Obama, he basically made the argument in the election that George Bush took his eye off the ball and never finished the job in Afghanistan and went into this disastrous war in Iraq instead, and that's why we've been in trouble ever since. As a veteran, what's your interpretation of what happened and what went wrong?
Well, as much as I don't want to place blame on anyone for this in particular, I will have to say that the Taliban was effectively toppled within 6 months of us being in that country and removed from power. And one of the things I've always questioned about this, and again, you know, I don't have enough of the bigger picture to know this, but why did we stay there longer than that? Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever really know the answer to that question, but we could have left shortly after that and still accomplished just almost everything we wanted to accomplish. For the most part, one of the reasons I say that is because it was in the beginning a CIA-led operation. There were CIA operatives on the ground working with Special Operations Forces, which is one of the first times this has happened in a long time. And what that means is there was a very light military footprint, which means we could have easily gotten out of there just as easily as we got in. But unfortunately now, 10 years later, it's not going to be as easy to leave, as you have pointed out.
So is that to say then that our heavy footprint, all the boots on the ground, a Christian army in Muslim lands, is that a part of the problem itself?
Well, I think the inability to be culturally sensitive to a lot of the Muslim cultures in Afghanistan is definitely a huge problem. And a military that does have a predominant Christian presence is something that can look slightly insulting when people are ignorantly, I don't think purposely, burning religious texts. And, you know, in Afghanistan, a lot of things travel by word of mouth. You know, people share stories, they talk to each other a lot. That's how a lot of news and information is shared. So when things like this happen, you know, they spread as rumors, and there's simply no way to rebuild our image when stuff like that happens, especially given that we are seen as a predominantly Christian military in a Muslim land.
Well, just in closing, Jacob George, given that you handed in your medals yesterday in front of the meeting where the NATO summit was taking place with President Obama and all of the heads of NATO, the 28 countries there, along with the president of Pakistan, Zardari, who the president met with briefly today, and of course, Afghan President Hamid Karzai. My understanding is that a lot of the demonstrations that took place were fairly, I mean, most of the demonstrations that took place were quite peaceful both yesterday and today. But there was this element of the black bloc, the anarchists. That did you witness any of that? Because looking, before I talked to you, ABC News had a report saying that the very dignified ceremony that you and your comrades handing back their medals was marred by the black bloc. Did that take place?
Well, I think there's a little bit of clarification needed there, but not a whole lot. What happened was we did our march. Everything was incredibly peaceful. It was amazing. The police were respectful. Protesters were respectful. We were all singing together. Well, I don't know if the cops were singing with us, but definitely someone was smiling at us and giving us a thumbs up, which felt really nice. That's the type of solidarity that we need to really build a movement. And then we went to the stage, and I was standing on the stage after we folded the flag, and I actually watched the flood of the black bloc start to move through the middle of the crowd toward the stage, because everyone was dressed in black, had their faces wrapped, you know, and flags raised, and they were fairly calm and peaceful. And when we were folding the flag, there was a lot of chanting that said burn it, but we were folding it to present it to a mother, so that wasn't going to happen. After we finished up, we went off stage, and the officers issued order for disbursement, and we had already left the area. We were in a park a couple of blocks away, and that's when I guess the struggles started to break out. But that actually, none of that happened until after everything was wrapped up. So everything was pretty respected in terms of the ceremony. And I think it was the order for disbursement that really instigated a lot of the clashing that happened.
Well, Jacob George, I thank you so much for joining us here today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Again, I've been speaking with Jacob George, who has served three tours in Afghanistan with the United States Army and is now taking part in demonstrations against NATO in Chicago, where yesterday he and other veterans returned medals that they had been awarded for their service in Afghanistan.